Pray that those things which are threatening to distract us or trip us up or entangle us, Lord, would be let go of this morning. Lord, that we would be free to run into 2018 with joy and with purpose. Amen. Amen. Have a seat, everybody. Thank you, guys. I'm going to read to you from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. This is from the Amplified Version. Open your ears, everybody, and your Bibles if you've got one with you. Therefore, it says therefore because the previous chapter is all about these great men and women of faith. People who have gone before us, those who have already journeyed with Jesus, those who have accomplished great things for God, and those who have suffered great things for God. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Just consider and meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. Consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning on this last day of 2017 on the subject of out with the old, in with the new. Now I'm not advocating trading in your old spouse for a new one, so don't get me wrong. But maybe there are some things that we need to let go of if we're going to move forward into the greater things of God. So as we enter a new year, this is often the time we take stock. I don't know about you. We think about the things in our lives that we want to change. I'm sure there'll be all sorts of New Year's resolutions made this year. I, for one, am determined to take Hebrews 12, verse 1, literally, in terms of stripping off unnecessary weight. Thanks, Laurie. I've got a wedding or two, which are coming up this year, and they are certainly the joy set before me, which is going to help me to accomplish the goal, all right? But just entering a new year doesn't really change anything. In many ways, it is just another day. It's another sunrise and another sunset. But for every year that passes, every date that increases, it reminds me that time is passing me by. And one day, my time will run out. And none of us can guarantee another year. So I better start doing something about the things that I want to see change in my life. How about you? I mean, today is as good a day as any, isn't it? You know, recently I did a talk which has gone out on YouTube called The Gift of Transformation. And by far, it has been watched by more people than anything else that I've said this year. I'm not quite sure why. But I think something about it resonated with a lot of people. I believe it sparked what I called a thrill of hope, that life can be different when I totally surrender it to Jesus and decide that I'm going to live with him and I'm going to live his way. I shared a couple of amazing testimonies of totally transformed lives, from lost and broken to found, put together, and living with a purpose. And I shared some of my own journey from feeling insecure and insignificant to feeling stable and that my life has some meaning. This is what God can do. And the verse I highlighted was 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, but let me read round a couple of verses to you. And it says, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view, but how differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Now, let me point out a few things from those verses about this new life that I've been banging on about. Number one is that God has a new life that has been paid for. He has paid for it. A life that he has lovingly designed and crafted for each one of us. A life that is different to when I didn't know him and I was living without him. But it's a life that we have to receive. Number two, this new life is not about you or me primarily anymore. Oh my, how we struggle with this one. My old life is all about me. It's all about doing what I want, when I want, pursuing my ambitions, living how I decide, my time, my money, and we like to think we're in control. And it's like we're praying, or at least wishing, for my kingdom to come and my will to be done, rather than the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. It sounds great on a human level. It sounds like freedom. I get to do what I want. But in ignoring God and doing what I think I want, I can end up enslaved to all sorts of behaviors and habits. And without God, I will never find or fulfill my true reason for being alive, which in a nutshell is to know him. It's to know him. I mean, the reality is that I have very little control when I think about it, when it comes to a lot of things. Things like the weather, can't control that. Can't control my health necessarily. Can't control the economy. Can't control death. None of us escapes these things. My old way of doing things, my old way of reacting to situations and coping with the pain of life does not and will not ever work. It's futile when I do it my way. Number three, what does this new life look like then? It's about living for Christ. Living for Christ. Getting to know him. Letting his death and his resurrection change me and then determine what happens in my life. It's about no longer comparing and competing with everybody else around me because I don't have to anymore. My life is in God's hands, and I just need to trust him enough to go and do what he has called me to go and do, and never mind anybody else. It's not complicated, although we make it very complicated. Because we often still want to do what we think we want to do rather than what God wants us to do. When we find ourselves in this spiritual struggle. You know, and some of us don't invest the time or the energy in getting to know God better. And then we wonder why he feels distant. But he hasn't moved. He's close. He is as close can be. It's what we've been talking about over this Christmas season. Emmanuel, God with us. This is what God has to say on the matter. This is from Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. God says, I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. I know. If he knows the plans and the thoughts that he has for us, then we better get to know him, because that's the only way we're going to find out what those plans and thoughts are. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear your voice, and I'll listen to you. And then with a deep longing, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity. And you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, I mean, God came and saved me without any effort on my part. That's called grace. But if I want to experience his hope and his future, his plans for my life, if I want to experience the peace that comes from knowing him, then I need to do what I can do to get to know him more, to seek him, to pray to him. And when I do, I realize that he is not difficult to find. Now, longing for him and seeing his presence is a vital necessity, which is what it said in that passage. Doing that in my life every single day, and not just for an hour on a Sunday. And as a result, taking the time to pray and seek his will and have the courage to be obedient is what makes the difference. It's called taking hold of the new life which he has so freely given to us. This life is it's a two-way relationship that God wants with us. It's not just about me waiting for God to bless me. I need to bless him too. That's what it says in Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. All that is within me. You know, when I bless him with my mind, my will, and my emotions, the things that make up my soul, when I think about him and include him in my decisions, when I act and react in ways that I know will please him, when I emotionally connect with him, that's what builds that strong bond, that growing relationship with our Father God, and makes it a meaningful relationship. Number four, at some level, this new life for each one of us who receives it is about us now reconciling other people with God. We might not all be called to be preachers or evangelists, but if I am a Christian, if that is what I call myself, then I am a witness. I am called to shine a light. I'm called to love even my enemies. I'm called to share what I know about this God who has so impacted my life. And for all those who call Kingfisher home right now, this is really the challenge of our plus one initiative that we've been talking about. To pray regularly, to support each other in this so that we have the focus and the courage to invite other people to come and see. Come and see. Our invites are going to be available, by the way, I hope, David, in the beginning of the new year. And we're going to start giving them out. And our first plus one Sunday is going to be on February the 11th. So we'll be praying and talking more about that in the new year. But my prayer right now is that more and more we would see the joy of other people finding faith in Jesus. How about you? Getting to know him, experiencing this love that we sing about and shout about, that we would know his power, that people would see that transforming them too. You know, we have the potential for a great, great harvest in 2018 if we would embrace this wonderful new life that Jesus has brought for us, that he has won for us, that he has given to us as a gift. Have you opened it yet? Are you using it? Are you seeking him? Are you seeking God's will for your life? Are you becoming more like Jesus? This is evidence of a growing relationship with God. Do you have an up-to-date testimony of what he's doing in your life? Well, maybe today is a great day to start putting Hebrews 12 into practice. Maybe today is the day that we start letting go of the old and taking up the new. The main point of my talk on the gift of transformation was that in order to take hold of the new and experience and enjoy the new, then you have to first say goodbye to the old. You have to let it go. So what old things do you need to strip off? That's what it says in Hebrews 12. Stripping off anything that is holding you back. What is holding you back? What old things do you need to strip off? What sin needs to go that is constantly tripping you up? What distractions are getting in the way of a life that is all in with Jesus? Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. It slows you down. Do you feel like you're wading through treacle sometimes in life? And you just can't seem to get up and running? Maybe you're carrying too much excessive baggage that you shouldn't be holding on to. Still holding on to those old things. Here's how another person put it in writing to the Ephesian church. They said, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Throw it off. Because this former way of life is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Let him. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Sounds good to me. What do you need to throw off? You're all very quiet suddenly. Well, I'm going to give you some examples. I'm going to need a volunteer. And if I don't get one, I'm going to choose one. So, actually, Mike, come on, you're in the front row. Come on up. You're not too tall either. I can reach you. He's tripping up. Those things that trip us up. Okay. So let me give you some examples of some of the things that you might want to let go of this morning. Some of us need to let go of old regrets. Okay.
Seeing clearly. Yeah, that'll do for now.
Old regrets. Maybe we have said things or done things in 2017 that we're not proud of, and we've hurt people, and as a result, we've hurt ourselves. You know, but the good news is that we don't have to carry these things into 2018. We can actually strip them off. Not yet. If we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoing. Amazing. It sounds too easy. But it wasn't easy for Jesus, who accomplished it for us. He went through the pain and the humiliation of crucifixion so that we could be free of this stuff. Don't waste your time beating yourself up about things that you've done or justifying your wrong behavior when you can walk in freedom from it this morning. Number two, some of us need to let go of old offenses.
I hope I've spelt it right. Is it with a C or an S? Right. This is covering your heart, Mike. Offenses, they get into our hearts.
Very attractive. We've been hurt by other people, either in word or deed or both, and it's eating us up. And we're holding those people in our own suspended judgment. But it's killing relationships. And it's destroying community, as well as our own peace of mind. And we need to strip it off. In a letter from the Apostle Peter, there's a passage entitled Living for God. This is the new life. This is about doing things God's way and not the way that my human nature might tell me I need to act. Which means this, 1 Peter 4 verse 8, above all things have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Who do you need to forgive on this last day of 2017? Whose offense do you need to overlook, to see beyond and see the bigger picture, rather than being held back by it? Be free from it. Move forward again. That doesn't mean putting up with an abusive relationship, by the way. There might well be people you need to let go of if they're continuing to hurt you. But what I'm talking about here is the attitude of the heart. Not allowing my heart to be poisoned by bitterness and resentment is a choice that I make. And for me, time is too short. I'm 49 years old, for goodness sake. I haven't got that much long time left. Well, maybe a few years. But time is running out. I've lost my place. The stakes are too high to live with this sort of stuff in my life. However justified I think I feel, I think I am in feeling this way about somebody else. It is a weight that will slow you down spiritually, so get rid of it. Number three, some of us need to leave our old fears behind. Fears, they can literally freeze you to the spot, stop you from moving. Moving forward in faith, afraid or too anxious, afraid of change. What fear? You know, recently I felt challenged to call somebody that I haven't spoken to in over 7 years. And the situation that had caused such a long period of time to pass with no communication wasn't great. And a lot of water had gone under the bridge since then. So was I fearful when I felt challenged to make that call? You bet. I was literally shaking. But fear is a liar. And if we could just find the courage to move through it and past those uncomfortable feelings, we will discover that even though fear shouts loudest often, God is still more powerful. And every time we overcome fear, it loses some of its power over us. It would have been the easiest thing in the world for me to ignore that challenge that I felt God put on my heart. But I did it. And I made that call. And I ended up having the most amazing conversation with the guy that I rang. What fears do you need to leave behind in 2017 if you are going to experience God's best in 2018? I've given you three examples of things that we need to strip off. Sin that so easily and cleverly entangles us, the Bible says. Maybe you have some specifics. And yes, it takes action on our part. We need to make the decision that we want things to change and that we are going to deal with it God's way. But this is not just an act of your own willpower, by the way. I don't believe it is possible to do it without God helping you. God's word gives us the key to how we can do this. Hebrews 12 verse 2. We do this letting go, this throwing off, we do it by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. The translation I read earlier says, looking away from all that will distract, focusing our eyes on Jesus. You know, as we move into 2018, don't be distracted. Don't be held back. Don't be frozen to the spot. You know, in order to run the race that is in front of us, we need to stop focusing on our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups, as we put it in Celebrate Recovery. That's what we talk about. And instead, consciously choose to focus on Jesus. On Jesus. If you compare what you are going through with what he went through, I guarantee it will give you a better perspective. And because he went through it, I don't have to be defined by my past or those things anymore. And I can move forward with hope and with joy and with a sense of peace because my life is in his hands. And I know that 2017 has been a tough year for a lot of people, but just maybe 2018 is the year when you're going to see the breakthrough. Amen? Do we want to see Mike strip off this stuff? Come on, Mike. Put your will into action. Make that decision. Get it off. All those regrets, all the offenses which are trying to lock up your heart, all the fears which are trying to stop you moving forward. Get rid of them. It is possible. Listen, it is as possible. That's just a little illustration. But spiritually, it is possible to do that. Some of you don't believe it because you've lived with these things for a long, long time. But it is possible. And what I'm going to ask us to do this morning is to pray. In the letter from the Apostle James, we're encouraged to do this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. Something powerful about speaking things out. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. You know, if you want to be part of a healthy community, if you want to be made whole, if you want to experience God's power in your life, then maybe today, even now, you need to take some action in terms of talking to somebody, in terms of admitting where you're at, in terms of saying sorry, in terms of offering forgiveness, in terms of voicing that fear. It's such an opportunity to say out with the old and in with the new. Would you stand with me? Because I'm going to pray about those things now. And firstly, let's pray for those regrets. If there are things that you have done in 2017 that are still tripping you up, you know there's still an issue for you. You know you're still holding on to them. You're still beating yourself up about them. Would you raise your hand with me and say, God, today is the day that I want to let go of them in your name. Today I release them, Lord. Maybe you need to forgive yourself because God has forgiven you. Father, I pray for each person, Lord, who's been struggling with regret. Lord, I pray that you will help them by your Spirit in this moment, Lord, to let go of those regrets, to receive your forgiveness and the freedom that comes from it. Lord, that they might walk into 2018 free, not looking back, but looking forward with purpose. Amen. And for those of you who've been hurt and you know you are holding on to an offense, you know that somebody said something or done something to you and you cannot let it go, you cannot forgive them, you've been struggling with it and you're still struggling with it, well, maybe this moment is the moment you need to let it go. If that's you, I'm holding my hand up for each one of these things, but if that's you, would you raise your hand with me and say, God, count me in on this prayer. Father, I thank you that your grace is just so amazing. You've forgiven me for everything that I've ever done wrong. And Lord, I pray that in this moment you would help me. I need your help. Would you help me to forgive those who have hurt me? Would you help me, Lord, to let go of that offense, to remove it from my heart, to stop it becoming a root of bitterness? And Lord, would you free me from it? Lord, that I might be able to look forward into 2018 with purpose and not be held back. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And for those of us who we just let fear take hold of us and keep us trapped, and we've been listening to fear's voice for far too long, if that's you, would you raise your hand with me and say, Lord, I pray that you would help me to move forward with courage. Lord, that you would help me to overcome this fear which has gripped me. Lord, that you would release me from it in Jesus' name. Lord, that I might be able to walk into 2018 free of this fear or the effects of this fear in my life. Lord, that I might be free to go your way and do what you want me to do, regardless of how fearful it makes me feel. Help me to be obedient. Thank you, Lord, that you are greater and more powerful than all the fears that might ever try and talk me down. Release me from it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you are in the business of transformation. Thank you, Lord, that you don't want us held back. But Lord, you want us moving forward with purpose. And Lord, in your will, I pray, Lord, this would be the year that we plug in and press in to you, maybe in ways we haven't done before. Lord, that we might see fruit, spiritual fruit, growing in our lives like never before. Lord, we pray that 2018 would be a year of blessing over our lives and over this church. Lord, as we live life your way, as we live life with you, as we take hold of it, in Jesus' name, amen. And all the church said, amen. 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 Let's sing, everybody.